Good morning, all of you. Welcome to Sungai Ara Gospel Hall. Or should it be the other way around? Instead of mine welcoming you, you welcome me. No, I think both are wrong. You are not at Sungai Ara Gospel Hall. I am not at Sungai Ara Gospel Hall. Both of us are in our own personal home. And so today, online, we are still able to communicate with one another thanks to modern technology. Anyway, it's good to see you virtually, or you to see me. I'm not sure which one is the better one, but at the moment, I cannot see you. And this is the first time I'm speaking to an empty space where I do not have eye contact with the people with whom I speak. Whatever, I'm glad that I'm able to communicate with you, and I hope you will be able to hear me clearly. Now, today we are going to deal with the series Safe at Home. Last week, you remember, I talked to you, stay home, stay safe. And this week, I'm going to deal with stay far, stay safe. It will be in two parts. The first part is stay far, stay safe. And the third part, a second part of today's study is stay clean, stay safe. Well, again, it is based on my rumination that was given out on April the 5th. And it was entitled then, Stay Far, Stay Safe. You can, of course, look at it from my website at beritabattleang.com. Now, what does it mean, Stay Far, Stay Safe? In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 1, that's our text, we read God speaking through Moses unto for Israel, come up unto the Lord, thou and the elders of Israel, and worship you afar off. Worship afar off. Stay far, stay safe. Because if they came near, they would not be safe. Why? The reason, and the basic reason, was that God was a glorious God, and God is still a glorious God. You come near, you will not be safe. For God has said so himself. If anyone sees God, he will die. And so to be safe, you must stay far away. That's the first reason. Second reason is the state of man. Man is sinful. Concerning Israel, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, God had pronounced them from the head to the heel of this nation, so to speak, they were sick with sin, stricken with sickness, with sores, and of course, figuratively, with sin. It was a sinful state, and they could not come near. For a sinful person, or for that matter, a sinful state to approach God would be struck dead. God is a holy God, and God cannot stand sin. So these two basic reasons, the people of Israel must worship God from afar. Then, what about the Gentiles? With the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So on this ground, we can now approach God and come near. Now, that is the end of the first part. Now we come to the second part, which is related to the subject of our study. Stay far, stay safe. With regard to the first part, we need to worship God afar off. We cannot come near as we are, unless we are in Christ. Then we can come near. So in a way, stay far is not safe. Because after having died, we still still have got to face the judgment of our sin, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And so while we may be saved while we are alive on earth and we have not died yet from the judgment of God, after death we are appointed to face judgment, and therefore we cannot escape. We still are not saved. Hence, we must go to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation in order to be saved. Now we come on to the second part. Stay far, stay safe. And I want to relate this study to our movement control order, MCO, that we are going through at this moment. And I want to point out, very strangely, in case you may not know, that this MCO, this movement control order, was also in practice when the Lord God helped Israel to control the contagious diseases that were at that time, that was present at that time. And the MCO is found in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. To control a contagious disease over 3,000 years ago. Why 3,000 years ago? Because Leviticus was written over 1,000 years ago. And plus our 2020 now is over 3,000 years ago. And this order controlling the people's movement with regard to the control of a contagious epidemic at that time would be more or less, as we can see, similar to what we are experiencing today. And the Bible text I'm quoting at the moment are from the Christian Standard Bible, which is in modern English, so that you can understand better. Right, firstly, the instruction concerning the MCO at that time. The first was the instruction to the regarding the infected, that he should see the priest if he is infected. Leviticus 13:2. When anyone has an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to Aaron the priest. Now, I quote from the NIV because in the KJV it is leprosy. It's not likely that this disease was leprosy then, from the symptoms that we could read in the book. So we would just generalize it to be an infectious skin disease because it was an epidemic, a plague at that time. It's from a Hebrew word, saran, which is translated leprosy in KJV, but translated infectious skin diseases in the modern translations. Well, one thing we can do is this, as we apply the MCO at that time to our place. The infectious person must go and see, the infected person, sorry, must go and see the priest. And therefore, in the context of today, it will be an infected person should see a doctor or a medical officer. Now, here is the order directly from the book. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. The law, the order. Epidemic. So, we are finished with the instructions. Now we come on to the infection. What was this infectious disease about? Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 3. If it was in fact contagious, unclean, then it must be treated as unclean and infectious. It was something that grew on the skin of a person, as a white scab at the beginning, and it grew and became a sore, and it would spread to the other parts of the body, and as a result even the clothes that he wore would be infectious, contaminated. And so he would be brought before the priest, and the priest would examine him, and the priest would check and see whether it was an infection or not. After that, if it was, then he would pronounce this person as unclean, as he saw from his hands all the sores that could be on his body as well. The priest shall then pronounce him unclean. It would be an epidemic at that time. Right. If that be so, then this infectious person must be quarantined for 14 days because it was an infection, it was an epidemic, a plague. He must be isolated for 14 days. Now that's strange, as we shall see. See what he had to do. The first week, the priest shall shut up him that had the plague 7 days. Then, on the second week, he must have a look at him to confirm. The priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague is in his sight, be at stay, there is, and the plague spread, and the priest shall shut him up 7 more days, making a total of 14 days. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Over 3,000 years ago, there came this order that if there was an infected person, he must be isolated, he must be quarantined 14 days, not 15, not 16, not 13, not 12. And this is what we are experiencing today. A patient must be quarantined for 14 days in order to confirm whether he has this plague or not. 14 days in isolation, complete isolation by himself. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he shall be contaminated, infected. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone without the camp, that's outside the camp, outside his community, outside his home, in a camp. Well, today we find in our context, those people who have been quarantined, they are isolated in special houses, hospitals, even in prison cells and in hotels. They were to be by themselves and not to mix up with the other people. That's what the MCO in the time of Leviticus stated, and we are practicing it today. So, the restrictions that came with the infection. The person in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now, this is exactly the same as we are practicing today. One, he shall have a covering upon his upper lip. That will be a mask, won't it? Everywhere we go, in order to protect ourselves, we need to have a mask over our nose and our mouth. Likewise, the person who is contaminated. Also, we find that the person who is contaminated at his time had to cry out, if anybody came here, unclean, unclean, so that the people would not come near. And that is social distancing that we are practicing today, that we must not go near a person. So, strange, isn't it, that we have this kind of practice even over 3,000 years ago. The people must do. Let's go on. 1359 says, this is the law of the plague. In a garment of woolen or linen, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house. Afterward, the priest shall go in to see the house. Everything connected or associated with the person will become unclean. Contaminated, Leviticus 14:36. All his apparel and all that the patient touched would be unclean. Where he stayed would be unclean. In other words, infectious. And he that had the issue, spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. The whole purpose of the mask is to prevent the patient's spittle from falling on us. And if you are a patient, to prevent your own spittle to fall on others. And you find that even at that time, they were conscious of the spit and the spittle that could fall upon another clean patient, a person, and contaminate him. And so we had this instruction, and that's why the mask, beware of his spit or droplets. They are infectious. He must thoroughly wash himself. Hence, when he come back from a place where there are a lot of people, we must wash ourselves. Strange, isn't it, that we see what we are practicing today are not new. It's as old as over 3,000 years ago. After a person has been quarantined and well, supposedly examined to be well again, then how is his coming back into the community? Well, 15:13 of Leviticus says this: when he that is cleansed, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. He must be observed for 7 days. Now, as I pointed out, the above instructions in Leviticus concerning the control of movements of an infected person in the community are not much different from the ones that we have now. Consider that God had all these controls already in existence over 3,000 years ago. Leviticus was written in 1490 BC. Now, the Lord knows best. And today, if we have this kind of MCO, we need to also obey, because they are not different from God's control of infectious disease 3,000 years ago. So let us stay afar off, stay safe. If we are still a sinner, then we need to take care. If we are still a sinner, then we need to take care that we don't go near. God has promised that He will heal us. And today, if any of you are sick or have any symptoms, go to Him. He said, if you will carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in His eyes, pay attention to His commands, keep all His statutes, I will not inflict any illness on you that I inflicted on the Egyptians. Then you will be saved. But you must obey Him. You must go to Him. The Lord's name itself promises that I am Yahweh who heals you. It's what is happening to this world, God's judgment upon the rejection of Him in so many of the institutions, relations, constitutions, recreations, etc. Now, today many people are asking, why is this epic COVID-19 on us? You remember in my first study on Noah, God destroyed the world because of the corruption and the evil that was existing. Today, we have this plague. Is it because of the corruption of this earth, of the people, the population of today? Today, they do not want God in their lives. They have pushed God out. They have put Christ out. And everything that has to do with Christ and Christianity has been put aside. You discard God. You put away Christ at your own peril. You need to come back to God. And so, this is will heal you. Now, we look at this MCO again. The lesson for us to learn as I conclude this part of our study is, if you are a sinner, you better distance yourself and stay far from Him. And stay safe, because His judgment will fall on you. But that is not the end of it, because if you continue in that and then you die, after death, you will not be saved. Because it says in the Bible, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. The judgment that may not fall on you now will definitely fall on you after death. So you have to face the judgment of your sin. So, how can you get out of this situation? Be like the publican. The publican, the tax collector, he knew he was a corrupt person. He knew he was an evil person. He knew he was not a righteous person. And he confessed his sin. He said, and the publican, standing afar off, he was afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Cried out, where you are, afar off, cried out, like the publican, go, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He will hear and he will forgive. And you, after that, can draw near. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God will be merciful to you. Only this is the only way to stay safe. If Lord Jesus Christ. All right. With that, I finished the first part of my study. Stay far, stay safe. Now comes the second part. Stay clean, stay safe. Stay clean, safe. Now my text is taken from John chapter 13 and verse 10. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week. I'll explain this text further as I go on. All right? Stay clean. Wash, that is, wash your hands and stay safe. Not only wash your hands, but wash other parts that are essential and stay clean to be safe. All right. Washing to be safe, we are told by the advisory, by the health minister, saying that we need to clean our hands for 20 seconds. Wash them thoroughly. Well, this washing to be saved is not only a requirement for our present predicament, but was a requirement in the time of old again. Washing to be saved was a requirement in God's service. Let's study that. Firstly, let me explain. We need to wash the whole person to be positionally clean. Wash the whole person means faith. To wash ourselves completely. Now, let's see what happened to the patient who was infected. The clothes of the patient. If the clothes were contaminated, they must be burnt. If a fabric is contaminated, it is to be shown to the priest. The priest is to examine the contamination and quarantine the contaminated fabric for 7 days. Not only quarantine the patient, but quarantine what he wore. And it was to be observed for 7 days. This is to be understood because at that time there was no sanitization and sterilization and so on. And so this was to be done. As far as the clothes are concerned, they are unclean. And if they are found to be contaminated, not only should they be washed, but they should not be used at all again. They must be burnt. If cleared or clean, then they must be washed. The priest is to order whatever is contaminated to be washed and quarantined for another 7 days, even for the clothes, 14 days to all. If the contamination disappears from the fabric, it is to be washed again and it will be clean. Now, that will be our sanitization, which they did not know of. So they had to follow this process. Long process, 14 days, but it was necessary. The contact of the person, whoever who came across this patient, must also be examined because they will be unclean. and they needed to wash themselves. If they physically touched the patient or his things, they needed to wash themselves. For example, if they touch his bed, they must wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean. They would not, if they sat on anything that the patient sat, they must also wash their clothes and bathe themselves in water. If they touch the flesh of the patient, they must wash times. Alright, that would be physical washing of the whole body if the clothes were contaminated. Or, it says there, he touches that has the issue and had not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Now here you see even the emphasis, wash your hands, because even if your hands were not infected, your clothes would be. So both wash your hands and wash your clothes. And some more, the patient's spittle, if it fell on the clean person, he that had the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes. So you see the very careful protection given to the person who is not infected. He must keep himself clean. He must wash. Even if the spittle falls on him, he must be careful. That's why one needs to wear a mask. And he must bathe himself in water and be unclean. Now, the person who is cured, he must wash his clothes. I've spoken about that earlier, so let me just hurry through. Clean himself in water so that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. The cleansing ceremony summarized will be this. It shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair, off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. It's a very, very Now, washing was also the rule for the consecration of the priest. Perhaps some of you would know this already, because I've talked about this before. But let me repeat. If any of the Levites, or Aaron's sons, wanted to be a priest, they must be consecrated, and they must go through the consecration process. And what was it? First thing, there was this command to Moses to consecrate Aaron and his sons as priests. And what was that command? Leviticus 8:5-7. Moses said unto the congregation, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done." Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. The first thing Aaron and his sons could be consecrated and recognized as priests would be to be brought before Moses, and Moses would take them in the presence and in the sight of all the members of Israel who would be witnessing this whole process, and he would wash them. He would wash them. What does that mean? He says there, he would wash, and the Hebrew word is rahafsin, from a root word which means to bathe, to wash. In other words, he had to bathe Aaron and his sons. Imagine Aaron being brought before Moses in public, and Moses would then bathe him completely from top to toe to consecrate him for the priesthood that he was called unto. It was a public act, and this was the only time Moses washed or bathed Aaron and his sons in public. no more in the history of the priesthood was Aaron washed again. And this reminds us of our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all washed by the blood of Christ. No more for our sins to be washed away, but in the course of living, we sin and we need to be cleansed. I will explain this as I go on. So, Aaron and his sons were publicly consecrated as priests before the congregation. Now, after that, Moses anointed Aaron and high priest and his sons as priests, and he girded them with the priest's robes, and all Aaron with his high priest's robe. Then they would be recognized as Aaron as the high priest and his sons as the priests, as they were given the robes of the priests. Now, this is a picture positionally of a person, as I said just now, once for all salvation before being constituted a priest. Now, we are told in Revelation 1:5 that we are cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, once and for all. Then in 1 Peter 2:5 and 9, we are told that we are all constituted as royal priests and as holy priests. All, not one, not two, not three, all are constituted priests. Everyone who has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest unto God, as you would have heard when I began the series of the Christian priesthood. Now, let's go on to the next point. This washing or bathing of the whole person would occur only once. But there would be the washing of the other parts of the body to be safe. For example, there must be the washing of the hands and the feet for priestly service. You see, when Aaron and his sons were constituted priests, they were priests after they had been washed. But when they wanted to serve God in the holy place in the tabernacle, every time they went in, they must wash their hands and their feet. The Bible says very clearly, Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet there at the laver. They shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever. It's a very serious thing that to do service for God, you must be kept clean. Clean after the first consecration, but clean also from day to day as you serve the Lord. Your hands and your feet must be washed. Not your whole body again. That was dealt with once and for all. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. Clean bodies, not enough. Clean hands and clean feet. Now, these twofold principle of washing the body and washing the hands and the feet is a principle that was also emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that John chapter 13 and verse 10, we read that Jesus and his disciples had gone into the house, and their feet, of course, were dirty. And when they were in the house, the host did not bother to wash their feet, so that the Lord Jesus Christ had to take a basin, and he himself stooped down to wash the feet of his disciples. Then he came to Peter and said to Peter said, "Oh no, no, Lord, you are my master. How can you wash my feet?" The Lord says, "If I do not wash your feet, then you have no part in me. Oh, in that case, please wash my whole body." The Lord says, "He that is washed is clean every week." In other words, he that is washed, or it should be bathed, it is the Greek word luo. It should be bathed. He that is bathed need not have to wash again because he's already clean. Note the second part of the sentence. The Lord also said, he that is clean, he that is washed, is clean every week. He does not need to wash his feet again. And the word wash, although in English is the same, but it is a different Greek word. It's nipto. Nipto is that means to cleanse, especially the hands or the feet or the face. So, once you are bathed, you need not have to wash again your whole person. You need just to wash your hands and your feet and other exposed parts of the body to be clean to serve the Lord. And that's what it means. When a person is saved is saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is cleansed every week. Then, when he serves the Lord, he needs to keep himself clean, his hands and his feet, so that he will serve the Lord in an acceptable way. And so, you see the difference with the word washed in John chapter 13. A bathed person needs only to clean his hands and feet to keep clean after that. 1 John 1:7 we read, the blood of Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Please note the word cleanseth. Cleanseth means it's a present continuous tense. It means that the blood of Christ, which initially washed us from all our sin when we were bathed, also is available to clean us or to cleanse us from all our sin that we commit day by day. And that's what the Lord wants us to know and wants us to do. Thus, bathe the body once to be saved, but wash hands and feet often to be saved to serve. Oh, may we learn this precious lesson, that those of us who serve the Lord need to have clean hands and feet. Let me summarize the MCO advisory from the scriptures. Stay home, stay safe. Worship God in spirit, as we are doing now, but only if you are a person who has been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can come here and worship God. Stay far, stay the difference. Stay far and stay away. If you are a sinner, you need to worship God afar off. But you can be like the publican who was standing afar off, and he said, "Oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." And God will forgive you, and you would be clean, then you can come near. Then today we learn also, stay clean, stay safe. We need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Be a saint, draw near, and serve God. Let us have full assurance of faith to enter into the very new and living way consecrated for us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, or be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And with this, clean feet to save the Lord. Those of you who are interested may always visit my website to get a copy of the PowerPoint slides as well as notes on what I've said. Thank you very much for listening. I hope it has benefited you all.